Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us actually to the book of Daniel this morning. Daniel chapter 1. Yes, ma'am. It's okay, I see. Oh, yeah, that's fine. Daniel chapter 1 this morning. And it's a little bit of a change from what was in your bulletin. We were originally going to be in John chapter 3, but I believe this is where the Lord would have us, give us a little bit of encouragement this morning and also a little bit of a challenge. Daniel chapter number 1, and invite your attention there to verse number 5. Daniel chapter 1, beginning there at verse number 5. The Bible there says, Daniel chapter number 1, beginning at verse number 5, "And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." And this is the key verse here of chapter number 1, and the verse we want to focus on in verse number 8. The Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." Again, I invite you to that verse, verse number 8, where it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach to us on this thought. And it's an old hymn in our hymn books, and it's an old Sunday school song. But the title of the message this morning, "Dare to be a Daniel." Dare to be a Daniel. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this day. And Father, we do thank you now for this time that we get to come and gather out here on the lawn to worship you, to sing your praises, to give testimonies, to sing specials. And Father, this morning we just pray that everything that has been said and done would have been done to your honor and your glory. And now, Father, I just pray you would bless this message. Lord, give me the words you'd have me to say, the wisdom. Help me to say those things which need to be said. Help me to refrain from saying those things that need not to be said. And, Father, this morning we just pray that the message would be a help, a challenge, encouragement to these your people. And, Father, we just pray that everything, again, that is said and done will be to your honor, your glory, and we'll be careful to give you the praise for it. We love you and we need you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. And so we see here, verse number 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank thereof. He requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Here we see Daniel made that sure that he had a purpose in his life regarding the king's decree. And someone once said this, that purpose is a plan in the heart to be performed. Purpose is a plan in the heart to be performed. Someone also once said that purpose could be defined as a conviction. We could say that Daniel had a conviction about the king's decree, that he knew that it went against the God of heaven, and he made a purpose in his heart. He had a conviction in his heart that he was not going to follow the king's decree. A Bible conviction is just simply when "thou shalt not" becomes "I will not." We have a lot of commands in the Bible. We have a lot of things that the Bible tells us to do, that tells us not to do. And when we stop to think about it, we can say, okay, well, I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm not going to do what the Bible says not to do because, well, that's what the Bible says to do. But it isn't until we say, okay, I'm not going to do something, that it then becomes a Bible conviction in our heart, that it becomes a purpose in our heart. But, you know, unfortunately today we live in a society, it's called FOMO, fear of missing out. And sometimes we get a mindset of, well, what will I miss if I miss out? When really we need to be asking the question, well, what will I miss if I mess up? And here we see Daniel, and he has Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these are going to be the only four that they're going to stand against the king's decree. And something that Daniel teaches us here, and what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teaches us here, is that if you won't stand when you're alone, then ultimately you will never stand for God. Now, we know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would be taken and they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. And they could have responded very negatively to that. And sometimes in life, we have hurts that come in our life, and we could respond very negatively to those things. And something that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego teaches us this morning is that we must be careful how we respond to the hurts of life. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego taught us how to respond right, because we all know the story. They're there in the fiery furnace, and the king looks in, and the servants of the king look in, and they say, well, didn't we throw three men into the furnace? But yet they saw four. Well, why? Because God was right there with them in the midst of that fire, in the midst of that trial, walking with them there. But we see here, Daniel made a purpose in his heart. Daniel had a conviction in his heart. And there's several things we see here from the book of Daniel this morning that should encourage us to draw this same purpose, to have these same convictions. Notice, if you would, there, the very first thing this morning, and that's an ungodly culture. It's an ungodly culture. Notice there, verse number 1. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem. Notice what it says, and besieged it. And so we see here Daniel, he was living in a very ungodly day. He was living in a very ungodly time. He was living in a very ungodly culture. But then we see verse number 2, we see that there was a divine escape given from the ungodly culture. Verse number 2, the Bible says, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And so we see a very encouraging truth this morning, that even in the midst of an ungodly culture, even in the midst of an ungodly time, even in the midst of a time where things were besieged, as verse number 1 tells us, the Lord still makes a way of escape. The Lord still makes a way for us to escape the ungodly culture, and that's for us to turn to Him. But now we see that even in the midst of this ungodly culture, we see Daniel faces an unavoidable challenge. We see he faces an unavoidable challenge. Notice there verses 3 through 5. The Bible says, and the king spake unto Ahaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning, in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and whom they might teach the learning in the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And so here we see that in the midst of this ungodly culture, the king provides to Daniel an unavoidable challenge. Either you're going to take of this meat, you're going to eat of this meat, or there's going to be consequences. And so now we see what Daniel does. And we see that he takes a compassionate stand. He doesn't take a contentious stand. He doesn't make a scene. He doesn't call out the king, but he takes a compassionate stand. Notice there again, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." And so we see that not only did he take a compassionate stand, but he did so with an uncompromising character. He knew what the king was asking of him, and he knew that it was wrong. And so he did not compromise his character. He just made a purpose. He said, you know what? I'm not going to have any part of it. I'm not going to defile myself with this meat, the wine. I'm not going to have any part of it. And he takes this compassionate stand in verse number 8 by requesting that he does not partake of it. And it teaches us another truth this morning, and it's very simply this. It's possible to have a strong stand, to stand for what is right, and still have a sweet spirit about us. You know, sometimes we think, well, if we're going to stand for God, if we're going to stand for Christ, or if we're going to stand for the things of God, then we have to be nasty about it, or we have to be mean about it, or we have to be contentious about it. And we see from Daniel that that's not the case at all. That if we know something is right, that as Christians, we just stand for it, and we do so lovingly, we do so firmly, we do so with kindness and compassion, and we take that stand, and we do so while still bringing honor and glory to the Lord, while still bringing honor and glory to God. But we see, not only was it a compassionate stand, but it was also a courageous stand. And this is very important to realize, because even though Daniel was kind about it, even though Daniel was compassionate about it, even though Daniel was not contentious about it or mean about it, it still took courage to stand against the king. It still took courage to stand and say, no, I'm not going to partake of this, because as we know, the king could take Daniel and toss him into the fiery furnace. He could have him killed. He could have any number of things done to Daniel for his disobedience. And so we see that it was a courageous stand. And something we have to ask ourselves is, do we have the courage to stand for the things of God? Do we have the courage to stand for the things of Christ? Do we have the courage to stand for what is right? But then not only was it a compassionate stand and a courageous stand, but then we see, and this is the encouraging part this morning, it was a contagious stand. It was a contagious stand. Notice there, verse number 13. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants." And so we see here, and then go back up there, verse number 11. It's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then notice verse number 12. The Bible says, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat, and water to drink. And so we see that not only was it a compassionate stand, not only was it a courageous stand, but now it was a courageous stand. Now we know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. But they caught Daniel's fire. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they saw Daniel stand. And because Daniel stood, because one man decided he was going to stand against that which was wrong, he had three other people come alongside of him in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they stood for what was right. They stood for what was right. You know, sometimes when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to the things of Christ, when it comes to those things which we know to be right, sometimes you might seem like you're the only one standing for what's right. But let it be an encouragement to you that if you'll stand for what is right, that stand becomes contagious. And other people will come alongside, and they will also stand for that which is right. They will stand for the things of God. They will stand for the things of Christ. And then we see there, verse number 19, you notice what it says. The Bible says, and the king communed with them, and among them all, notice what it says, was found none like Daniel. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, therefore stood they before the king. Verse number 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now, what's interesting about this chapter 1 is that in chapter 1, this man Daniel, who took a stand for what is right, was, you'll never believe how old he was. He was 15 years old. So don't let anybody tell you you're too young to stand for God, or you're too old to stand for God. It doesn't matter how old or how young you are, if you decide you're going to stand for God, you're going to stand for God. And then we see, go over to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Or let's look there, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 29, and then we'll go down through chapter 6. Chapter 5, verse 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And so in chapter 1, Daniel was 15 years old. And now here in Daniel chapter 6, if you do the math and you figure out the timeline, you find out that Daniel is now in chapter 6. He's a very old man. And so from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 6, there was one trait that defined Daniel's life. And that was, there was no compromise in Daniel's life. He stood for the things of God from the time he was a young man to the time he was an old man. He stood for God. And then back there to chapter 1. Because now here's the encouragement. Here's what happens if we stand for the things of God. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 9. Daniel chapter 1 and verse number 9. The Bible there says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." You know, sometimes it seems like when we stand for God, nobody cares for that too much. Nobody likes that too much. But here, Daniel, he took this stand. Later on, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they took the stand. And here in verse number 9, Daniel was brought into favor, both with the eunuchs. Later on, he'd be brought into favor with the king. And now we see that he would be brought into favor with God. And when you stand for the Lord, when you stand for the things of God, when you stand for that which is right, yeah, there might be some that don't like you, but ultimately you bring favor upon your life for standing for what is right. And so this morning, and listen, we live in an ungodly culture today. You just see what's happening in our world today. You see what's happening in our nation today. And the question becomes, will you stand for what is right? And I hope this morning you'll be like Daniel, and you'll be and do and stand for God. You'll stand for the things of God, for the things of Christ. You will dare to be a Daniel. He took this stand. He did it with compassion. He did it with courage. And because he took that stand, it became contagious. And it caught on with others around him. And I guarantee you this morning, if you'll take that stand, it'll catch on with others around you. And it will help others. And you'll have favor with other people. You'll have favor with God. And you'll be able to do great things for the Lord. And so this morning, this week, you go into this world this week. You run your errands. You go to the grocery store. Go to school. Well, school's out for the summer, but go to work, whatever the case may be. And especially if you work in a secular workplace, you know, where you might work with those who aren't Christians, they need somebody there that's a light. They need somebody there that's taking a stand for the things of God. You be that light. You be that stand for the things of God, for the things of Christ, for the things of the Lord. Let's pray this morning.